This is an ABC podcast.
This is Baby Talk Podcast with Penny Johnston.
Hello and welcome to Baby Talk. This week we're taking a look back into our archives to look at a very popular story from a few years ago. This one particularly relevant now thanks to an impending royal birth. When it's time for a baby to be born, you want it to be a good experience for everyone involved. But can you really prepare for it? There are a number of birthing courses you can do that practitioners say will prepare you as best as they possibly can to have a good birthing experience. Now, this doesn't mean an absence of pain or that you won't end up with an emergency caesarean, but research shows that it truly can be less likely if you're well prepared. And now, with Meghan Markle about to deliver her famous baby, word on the street is she's preparing to use hypnobirthing techniques to make her own birth as good as it can possibly be. And that's really not a surprise, considering that she's a yoga practitioner from way back.
When they look back on that birth and they can say to people, no, that was a really positive day in my life. It's, you only get one chance at it. You don't get to redo it. So we need to prepare and make sure it's the best day of our lives. And we can look back and say it was a positive day.
There are a number of courses and practices that you can attend to try and learn how to work with nature and your body to make that birth experience an empowering one. Lisa Simpson is a midwife who works in a busy metropolitan maternity hospital, and she also works as a hypnobirthing practitioner. She runs courses for women who want to discover a better and more positively controlled way of giving birth. Her hypnobirthing practice is called Breathe and Birth, and it's based in Melbourne. We're going to find out exactly what it does mean to have a hypnobirth. But I'm also going to introduce you to two mothers and a father who all worked at trying to create the right positive mindset to make their birth and labour positive. Now, out of the six labours you're going to hear about, four worked according to plan and two didn't. But there's something to be said about all six experiences. And all the parents involved had something very interesting to say about the process of either giving birth or supporting somebody giving birth. So let's firstly meet up with our hypnobirthing practitioner, Lisa Simpson, and discover exactly what hypnobirth is all about.
So we like to explain hypnobirthing as to think of the hypno as a fancy name for positive. It helps women and their partners achieve a positive and empowering birth, no matter which way their labour journey takes you. So it can be a misconception that hypnobirthing is about a natural and drug-free labour, but that's totally not it. It's all about positive for us. And our Hypnobirthing Australia program is unique, and we're all about positive birth all the way.
But what's the hypno part of it? I was discussing with some friends who hadn't had babies and they were going, oh, what, do you get hypnotised and it doesn't hurt?
No, the hypno part is all about self-hypnosis. And so it's putting yourself into a deep state of relaxation on your own. So we teach you how to do that and to get into that deep state, ready, prepared for labour. And it's the state that you can be in every day. So reading a good book, driving and forgetting what you've been past, watching a movie and crying even though you know it's not real. So it's a state that we're in all the time, but we just don't realise that it's self-hypnosis.
When you're scared of something, it's more, the fear of the pain is more than the actual pain.
Fear creates tension, so that increases our pain. So if we can reduce the fear and allow people to get into that deep relaxation, it's absolutely going to help with their pain for labour.
How do you do that? Because, you know, particularly for women and their first births, you don't know what to expect. You are making assumptions. There would not be a woman alive who would not expect pain during their experience of birth in the first place.
Well, the four main cornerstones about the Hypnobirthing Australia program that we focus on are tools. And in those tools, we go through breathing, visualizations, deep relaxation and self-hypnosis. We talk about senses and massage. The other cornerstone we do is knowledge. So we know that in everyday life that knowledge is power. And so when we're informed, it helps us understand what's going on in our body. So we can make the right decisions and question at the right times to make informed choices. So that's really important. We also talk about support, and that's really important in labour, to feel well supported. So we feel safe when we're in a vulnerable position. And we give these people the tools to be able to do that themselves. So the midwife really can be as a lifeguard at a beach and just watching and stepping in if they put up their hand and need a hand. And the last thing we do is preparation for our mind and our body. And if we just think about, for example, athletes, if they're going to prepare for a big race or a marathon, they don't just turn up on the day and do it. They put a lot of preparation and mind and body to do it. And that's no different to labour. It's a massive event in our life and we want it to be a positive one for women.
Do some women manage hypnobirthing better than others, or is it really a skill that any woman can pick up?
Anyone can pick up the skill, absolutely, but it's practice, practice, practice. So we tend to do the course mid to late 20 weeks of pregnancy, and then they can continue to practice up until their birthing day. Some people do it better than others, absolutely, but anyone can give it a go. And when you see it in action as a midwife, it's absolutely amazing. And I just go home thinking I have got the best job in the whole world, and the strength of those women just blows me away.
Now, the first of our mothers who took on a birthing course undertook about 10 hours of coursework with a midwife, and I think the whole process worked really well for her.
Then it involved actually listening to tapes, I guess. It was sort of like a meditation style visualization thing, and they were tapes. So they went for about, each session was a fair bit of commitment. You do it daily. It's like anything, you've got to practice a lot. And that's what I learnt with it. You have to be really committed to it and practice. So it was probably a good almost an hour a day.
When it came to the actual birth, how did the theory turn into practice?
It sort of just kicked in. It's like anything, I guess a pilot trains again and again and again for, well, the worst thing to happen, which I don't think birth is, but it's fairly intense. I almost felt like I can describe it like being a dog that just wanted to go away into a corner and hide and just do my thing. And I was just really able to concentrate and bunker down. And I didn't know who was in the room, what they were doing. It was very much an internal process for me almost. I was very much in my own headspace and about staying on top of the pain, or I think they refer to it as sensation. That's what it really was for me. It was being able to describe birth as understanding what it was doing for me, or the labouring process, that it was pulling and lifting. And I just thought of it as that. I kept saying to myself, like I was taught, this is just lifting, it's pulling, it has to happen, as opposed to thinking this hurts. It was there, but it wasn't excruciating, not for the bulk of it. I was amazed at what I could do.
That knowledge for you was really an empowering result?
Absolutely. It was amazing. It was really, I found giving birth a really fantastic experience for the most part. But look, it did hurt at the end. I'm not saying it didn't. But for most of it, I could really labour and really just be calm and just really focused on what I was doing and not let the idea of pain get on top. It was very much staying on top of what was going on. I felt very in control.
How does it change a birth experience?
It absolutely changes the whole. It's about the after effect as well. And when they look back on that birth and they can say to people, no, that was a really positive day in my life. It's, you only get one chance at it. You don't get to redo it. So we need to prepare and make sure it's the best day of our lives. And we can look back and say it was a positive day.
A lot of women put a lot of pressure on themselves to have what's defined as natural birth, no drugs, no C-section. How does hypnobirthing come in if things are starting to go wrong?
Yeah, so we've given the tools and the knowledge to cope with whatever's thrown at you in labour. So we're always talking about if things are normal, but we also give tools to cope with if things aren't normal. And we keep that mindset, we keep that positive, calm mindset, whether that means you end up down in a C-section or whether that means you have an epidural. Like I said at the start, it's not about a drug-free labour. It's about a positive outcome at the end of the day, and with no matter what way your labour journey goes.
Because I had a birth plan and I'd made it really clear to the midwives at the hospital at the outset when we first arrived that I wanted low lighting, I wanted pretty much to be left alone as far as is practicable, and I didn't want any drugs. They were really fantastic about that. They did respect my wishes. But at the same time, when the situation started shifting and the concentration was less on what I wanted and more on what was safe for my baby, and I think that is the key, is you can go in with all the preparation and all of the ideas of what you want as a perfect birth, and you just have to go with the flow.
There would be quite a few women that would come seeking some more tools, particularly if they'd had a difficult first birth.
Absolutely. If someone's had a bad experience the first time, they might come and want a different experience, or just feel like they're in control, which they should do. That is their birth. So we definitely work with those women really closely, and we offer support right up until that birthing day and also beyond. We touch base as well to see how they're going post their birth. So we absolutely get second, third, fourth timers coming. And, yeah, just hopefully end their childbearing days positive. It's a lifelong memory for you to take and then obviously educate our kids and the next generations that the birth's a normal physiological part of life for women and that we can do it and we need to do it the way that suits us and be supported in our choices as well.
Hypnobirthing got a bit of a publicity boost. Kate Middleton, bearing the next in line to the British throne, apparently practiced hypnobirthing.
Yeah, so I can confirm that Kate Middleton did hypnobirth. That's from the director of Hypnobirthing Australia. It did show, I guess, how she did turn up to hospital quite late in her labour, and it wasn't long before the baby was announced. So, and her recovery, you know, proudly showing off her baby bump post giving birth, but looking really well, really healthy and really happy.
What role did your partner play in this? Did they have to do
very
anything?
Very little. I'm just trying to think. What role did my partner... He was there and that's all I needed. I think I needed... My sister was there as well. I just needed to know they were there, but beyond that, I just wanted to be left alone, if that makes sense. I was very happy just to know that these people were there and I could see them if I needed to, but beyond that, I kind of was just totally in my own headspace.
My husband, who was there... He describes it as the most terrifying yet boring experience of his life because you are, for hours and hours, you are just concentrating on labouring. Nothing is happening except what is happening inside your body. And I think that that describes it perfectly, particularly from somebody from the outside.
What are the proven benefits?
Hypnobirthing Australia content is all evidence-based. So we know that if we can relax our body to work with our body rather than work against it, release our fears to go in a positive way and nice and calm, all our visualisations and the support and the preparation, practice makes perfect.
I think it was that idea of how to go along for the ride, very much not to fight it, because I think that's half the battle. For me, the minute I got into that headspace, probably my first was my most difficult, but when I look back, I wasn't sort of in control of what... There's very little with birth that you can control, very little. When push comes to shove and it's on. But you can control, I guess, how you react and where your head's at and how you stay on top of that. And that's what I found really amazing about it. I was actually able to say to myself, it's okay. It's just part of the process. It's only doing this in my body. It has to happen. Go along for the ride. Don't resist it was the biggest thing that I got out of it. It was normal. It took maybe 24 hours, but it was normal. And I was able to deliver him normally. Didn't have to have, you know, a cesarean. So I was really fortunate. My second was a breeze, really easy. And that was amazing. I think they were going to send me home at 6 o'clock. And I said to the midwives, no, I think I'm in labour. And I said, oh, darling, you're not in labour. You can go home. And I was out on a farm at the time and I delivered Harriet 2.5 hours later. So it shows how if you can get into this zone and really work with your body, it's amazing what you can do. I'd probably been in labour for 4 or 5 hours, but I was chatting away and then I just kind of sort of focus and getting through a contraction and then I just keep chatting away again. So it was an extraordinary thing for me, how the power of the mind and how you can really stay in control, and it's all about how you perceive something and not fight against it. It was a learning curve in so many ways for me about what your body can do and what your mind can do, most importantly. And then my third was similar. I was induced with him and I thought, oh gosh, I was induced with my first, this is going to be, I'm terrified. But then I thought, no, I'm just going to stay on top of it, it's okay, I'm going along for the ride, and it was fine. It wasn't that difficult at all. So I'm really lucky though. I was lucky that that's how my body did its thing.
There's a stage in labour where every woman gets to the point where, like, I can't do that. I just can't. And that's an indicator that the baby's actually about to come out. But does hypnobirthing help you deal with that particular bit?
It is absolutely a real thing. More obvious in some people than others from my midwife hat. That's where our support person is really, really important. We talk about transition and the signs of transition and how to get through that. And we need our support person there beside us, making us feel safe because we're feeling very vulnerable at that stage normally. So we're just safe and just know that what's happening to you is normal and that your baby's getting closer, and just reminding you that you're nearly there and you're nearly over that finish line.
You must have seen a sort of a range of partners in delivery, ones that have been to hypnobirthing classes and the ones that are turning up with their iPad and plans to do something else while the baby's arriving.
Absolutely.
How important is that support person?
It's so important, more than these partners ever know, I think. We, as women in labour, like I said, feel very vulnerable and need to feel safe and supported. And we're walking into normally an environment where we don't know anyone and we're about to just expose ourselves to everyone, and we need to feel that safe, supported. For myself as a midwife and doing the hypnobirthing education, we talk to the fellas a lot about, or the partners, birth partners, about, because if they've got that preparation and know what's happening, they actually do cope with supporting their partner in labour a lot better than if they haven't done the education, because they get stressed about seeing their partner in distress, and that doesn't help the woman when she's trying to relax and let her body go.
As the guy in the relationship, did you even venture to offer an opinion on the birthing plan?
I didn't, because I guess in my traditional style is that I'm fairly laid back and my wife is actually quite a planned and organised person. So before I think I got around my head around to thinking about the plans had already been formulated. And so for me to come in at the late moment, which was probably on the way to the hospital while we're having contractions, it was probably too late. And I felt maybe a bit insensitive because I hadn't done any proper thinking about it. But I guess also it's hard for me. It was hard for me as the partner, as the husband, to know exactly how she might want to go through the process. And kind of she was very focused on trying to do it naturally. And so she'd been doing a lot of reading and talking to people about how to make that possible. And so she came up with some suggestions.
So part of that was sort of getting into a sort of a state where you could sort of deal with all that labour's about to throw at you.
Mm.
How did you feel as the onlooker? Did her confidence inspire confidence in the process for you?
We had a very challenging birth. So the confidence, if any, in my wife went out pretty quickly because of how challenging the birth was and how the labour was progressing or not progressing as we were hoping it would progress. And so we did use the tactics and the techniques that she'd planned, and we did try, you know, to incorporate those into labour, but we were noticing that they weren't doing a lot. And so from my perspective, that was frustrating because all these things that we were doing, which I was very happy to do, but it didn't feel like it was having any sort of effect on the process and giving any relief, which kind of, for me, was the big driver.
Are sometimes women better birthing partners than men?
Either, really. They're both great support, but I think it's that preparation coming in and understanding what's going to happen to your partner's body. I think that's the key.
Some women really do experience a lot of trauma in the process of giving birth, and it makes it really hard for them to consider a second pregnancy and second birth. Is hypnobirthing something that can really help them get through that?
Yeah, absolutely. We, with a self-hypnosis, we try and remove those fears and condition ourselves to approach birth in a positive way. So we can absolutely talk to these women about what scares them about going into pregnancy and birth again, and what kind of experience they had the first time, and did they feel empowered, and did they feel they had choices? So we talk about that. We try and get rid of those fears, and with all the tools that we give them, relaxation, the knowledge, the support and the preparation, to hopefully send them into this birth a lot more prepared and empowered to birth the way they would like to. And in control, feeling in control is a massive part of labour.
Also as a midwife, because you do work as a midwife as well as during the hypnobirthing, do you try and give some of those tools to women even if they haven't been to the classes?
Yeah, absolutely. And it can work. However, we do talk a lot about preparation and practice. So it's really hard when someone comes in active labour to the birth suite and looks at you and says, help me. Yeah, I've got a few tricks up my sleeve that I can help get them through, and that's what midwives do every day. But when they come in armed with the knowledge and understanding of what's happening to them, they do find that transition to motherhood a lot easier.
There will be people that will argue, and I know a lot of women feel really guilty about having a C-section, but then you kind of go, well, look, birth, it's only the first bit. There's so much more that you can give your child than supposedly the whole drug-free birth, tinkly music playing in the background.
Yeah, we support women however they like to choose to give birth, whether that's a vaginal birth or a cesarean section. If they're happy and that they have a positive experience, that's all that matters to us, and we're happy to support women in that way.
My labour was about 18 hours, and after that time, unfortunately, I hadn't progressed, and the doctors and midwives were noticing that there were issues with my baby's heart rate, and was then decided that I wasn't able to labour any longer and I had to go and have an emergency cesarean. But up to that point, I was using those breathing techniques and visualisations as well.
Did it help?
But when the situation started shifting and the concentration was less on what I wanted and more on what was safe for my baby, and you just have to go with the flow.
We also use our tools to support women in the case of an emergency cesarean section as well. So we still use those relaxation breathing, going down to a very scary place in theatre where there's going to be millions of people around you and you don't know what's happening, you're worried about your baby. So we use those tools to help keep those stressor hormones at bay, stop releasing so much adrenaline to that baby and bring that baby out into a nice, calm environment. So we try and keep that the whole way through labour. We also at Hypnobirthing Australia do hypnobirthing for cesarean sections, so planned cesarean sections, just to go in with that positive mindset, nice and calm, breathing and bring that baby out into a nice positive environment.
If you are really uptight and really stressed, does that slow things down?
Absolutely. So you can go into that fight or flight little episode there where, and I have actually seen in the birth suite myself, women ringing up in good labour and they sound amazing on the phone. They're really doing it and they're huffing and puffing. They come in and they come into this environment they're not familiar with. And, you know, we're touching them, we're putting monitors on, we're taking their blood pressure. And I've actually seen labour stall. And they're like, I'm so embarrassed. I was really contracting 2 to 3 minutely and now it stopped. I'm like, that's okay. So we do the nitty gritties that we need to do. Turn the lights off, tuck them in bed, leave them for a little while. And it was half an hour later that she buzzed me and she was pushing. Mm. So that baby was coming. But it just needed her time to just relax, everyone to feel unobserved. And your body's trying to relax and let go, dilate that cervix. And when you've got fear and pain and stress, you're going to do the opposite to what your body's trying to do. So it's quite clever, really, if we just leave the woman to do her thing and just watch and be amazed.
It is an amazing process. The whole fact that your body does all the things that it needs to do to, A, grow a baby and then, B, get it out is quite a remarkable thing too. You must have a pretty good job.
It's absolutely an amazing job. And I walked out of a shift last Friday and just thought, I just have the best job in the world. I just saw this lady just come in and just absolutely smash labour. Her partner was so supportive. It was beautiful to watch. And really, I just got to watch on, which was lovely. And they look at us at the end and say thanks. But I say to them, what you're really saying to me is thank you for empowering us to do it. And the day I don't get a tear in my eye when a baby's born is the day I walk away from that job, because it's just the most amazing experience that you'll ever get to see. Pregnant women and their partners just need to think about birth preparation. And no birthing for us it's the most important investment you can make. If you're prepared and educated, you'll go in ready to take on whatever's thrown at you. We can't, like I said, we can't redo our birth, so it's so well worth preparing for. So I would encourage everyone to have a look, get that birth. And like I said, it stays with you like a lifelong memory. So it's great if it's a positive one and you can look back at it and think, what an amazing day. And your partners never live it down, really. You're just constantly reminding them how good you were, how strong you were, and I think they never live it down, which is great.
Guys are listening to this too. It's a way that you can really contribute to the birth of your child as well. Like, it is a really important bit that you will be part of.
Totally, and you're a massive, the blokes or the female birth partners as well, are such a huge part of labour, and you'll find the whole process a lot less stressful if you're educated and you understand what's happening to your partner, and you can feel a lot more part of it, and you'll just be totally blown away by her strength and her calm.
So we were trying for a VBAC, which is a birth after cesarean, because the first one ended up in a cesarean. And so my wife had been going through some strategies to work towards a VBAC, and so it just felt like it progressed much more naturally and much more routinely than our first birth did. I think we were a little bit more relaxed second time around, obviously, because it's the second time around. But there was also always this, in my mind at least, this reservation that it was going to go like the first one did. So we get to hospital and I was just expecting that we weren't going to be very far progressed. That was what happened the first time. I was just expecting that when my wife's waters broke in hospital, which didn't happen properly, that wasn't actually going to result in a good birth. I had this doubt that actually I was going to go back to where it was the first time. But it just seems to happen quite naturally and quite well and surprisingly almost.
And did it? Did you get a VBAC?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
we
well
had
done.
A natural birth, and it happened. It was amazing. It was an extraordinary experience, and my wife did amazingly. Just a great thing to see her to do that, because you do get an interesting appreciation of women when they actually go through natural childbirth and how much they go through it.
Lisa, is there a lot of scientific evidence that you get a faster recovery or better bonding with your baby if you use the hypnobirthing technique?
Quicker, everything I said, like it's evidence-based, quicker labour. We never say that it's obviously pain-free, but we give you tools to cope with that pain. And recovery-wise, better. We don't talk about pushing our babies out. We talk about breathing our babies out. So really protecting our perineal area as well for the birth of the baby. So absolutely a much better recovery. And if you don't go the drug option too, lots of in recovering from yourself from the drugs, what drugs you've had in your system.
Lisa Simpson, who's a hypnobirthing practitioner and a practicing midwife, and some friends of mine explaining their experiences working towards a positive birthing experience. Lisa Simpson's hypnobirthing practice is called Breathe and Birth, and there are quite a few hypnobirthing resources available on the internet, so I'll put some links on the Baby Talk page. So if you've not seen it for a while, come on over and take a look online. ABC Baby Talk, one word, or just even Baby Talk should find us in your search engine. And, of course, Baby Talk is on Facebook too. I'm Penny Johnston. I will see you next time on Baby Talk.
ABC Baby Talk is a weekly podcast on ABC Digital Radio, wherever you get your podcasts and on the ABC Listen app. Like us on Facebook to find out as soon as a new episode is ready. Just search for ABC Baby Talk.